Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Purple Rain Minute Podcast. My name is Michael Dane. Joining me today is Ida. How are you doing today, Ida?
I am wonderful. About to get him some of this jungle love.
All right, good day. Good day. All right, this is the podcast where we watch the movie Purple Rain minute by minute, and then we talk about it. Today, we are doing minute 9 through 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, and so we start off with, just as Ida said, the time is doing jungle love. So we first get into that, and this is our first time seeing the time perform in the movie, and we just came off of Let's Go Crazy, and now we come into this. You think, who can top, or who can even come close to the energy, and boom, Morris Day and the Time. Like,
oh we, oh we, oh.
Yeah.
Hell
super
yeah.
Super infectious song, right? Like,
shit. It's a song. It's a, they kind of get the dance. It's a song and a dance. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So, woo. And it, yeah, you're thinking, who, Princeton got off, what they about to do now? And it's just as great. It's just a whole different vibe, though.
Entirely different vibe.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, man, super talented, super funky.
Yeah.
And there's a great part in this scene where it shows these dancers sort of at the top and like
yes!
they're popping and locking. And it's interesting to note that those guys up there are the Game Boys who go on to be, you know them as Tony M., and Kirk Johnson, Damian Dixon, and you know, years later, maybe over 10 years later or so, mm-hmm. they become part of Prince's band. Mm-hmm. And they're very much into his stuff. So it's interesting that they started here, just a very bit part. But it was always a memorable part because I believe the music video, mm-hmm. it would show mm-hmm. them. And I just always remember seeing them because it was, for me, it was like a little tie to like, It still acknowledged sort of hip hop culture to me a little bit
mm-hmm.
at that time. Like, oh, they got cats in there popping and locking. Dope. You know, it just made it seem that much more doper. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just basically doing that stuff, that side to side in the middle, side to side in yeah. the middle. The dun, 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 dun. And they're doing it though, but it's just fresh to death. It's just hot to death.
Yeah.
Then the first dude starts it, and then the second dude, and then the third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was again, they looked like First Avenue was the spot.
The spot. Nigga, it's like if you see why Apollonia went through whatever she fucking went through
yeah.
to get her ass up in there because it was the place to be. And it was obviously Minneapolis, but it's obviously something that everyone around the country knew about because she's not from Minneapolis. She's coming from the South. Then we find out later, but she heard about that club all the way down. In the South. She's coming from New Orleans. Y'all don't know that yet, but it's coming up.
Right,
so
right.
It shows that the energy and the reputation of this club has spread across the country because it's just the shit,
yeah,
basically.
It solidifies it, at least in my mind, I'm sure when others was like, oh, there's some way I have to actually go visit. You want to go there? Because in my mind, I'm like, you mean to tell me this? You could just go there and see like a Prince might be up there or, you know, the Time or something. That club must be bananas. Like, it's just jamming. I don't understand. Like,
happened. And you know what I mean? I, even looking at it just now, for this, makes me want to move my ass back to Minneapolis. Every time I see this shit, I'm like, I want to go to Minneapolis. Like, what am I doing here? I'm in New York. I need to be in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I used to think that, I didn't know anything about Minneapolis at the time, but just watching mm-hmm. this movie, at least just this first, you know, 10 minutes, I'm thinking like, must be nothing but the funk,
yeah.
is popping out of there. I had no idea that it was, you know, really sort of rock type, you know, other stuff going on there. But I just assumed that, oh, it's just Minneapolis funk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that must be
and
the
it was.
Spot.
That's the spot. Like you just, that's the spot. Like,
yeah, I've never been inside that place. I've been outside the place just driving by. But I was like, I had to see it. I was like, oh, we're gonna be in Minneapolis. I must, at least if nothing else, drive me by First Avenue. I need to see that because it was just so iconic. But
if clubs were like that, I'd have my motherfucking ass in the club all the time.
Yeah,
ain't no shit like, you know what I'm saying? This shit ain't like that.
No, unfortunately, you know? No.
Exactly. It was very unique to it, and we're just happy it existed. You know, because it just gives you a reference point for shit like this is going on somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness, you know.
There is I'm gonna jump here for just 1 second. What's the other? Well, I'm asking like I don't know the other song that the Time does, the bird. But there is a recording, bootleg, if you will, of the Time, where they did the music. They recorded a concert, for the music that they use in this movie, mm-hmm. Which essentially the same concert as the actual version that you hear on the album. But I want to say that this version is also from that recording that they're playing back in the movie. And you have, if you have not found it, you must hear this concert. It was actually the very last concert at that time that Morris had done with the group. We actually did a review show of this concert, and it was done in it's actually in First Avenue. The concert mm-hmm. takes place in First Avenue. It was before they even shot the movie,
right?
But it was going to be used, you know, later and for the album. And it is a insanely dope performance of the new stuff that they were doing. It has some of the old stuff. It has the new band, and there's a hilarious part in the middle of the show. It's like a communion, essentially, and mm-hmm. I'm talking about a church communion. And Morris just gets on there, and he actually. I go into it in another podcast, but he's dissing Prince. But in real life, mm-hmm. in this little portion where he's talking to the crowd and he's asking people to donate money to him, and they're passing a collection plate. They're passing a collection thing around. And he goes to talk about Prince performed a show recently, I guess a few days ago. And I'm not sure if it's the show that Prince did, you know, the music for that they use in the movie. But they were like, yeah, Prince played a couple days ago, and it was so expensive, man. It was too expensive. And this is Morris saying this. He's like, mm-hmm. I never charge people like that, man, you know, and all this. And there's a part in it, he says, Prince, you took, but did you give? And for those who really are up on some Prince music, if you go back and listen to the Family album, the song Mutiny, at the end of that song, you can hear Prince say in that song, Morris, you took, did you give? And if you understand that that song is actually a diss song to Morris.
Yes.
And Jesse, because he even says their name in that song. Even though it's St. Paul is singing it. The song is a diss to Morris and them. And so what Prince was doing was, and I didn't know this until I heard this Time recording, Prince was actually answering back what Morris said to him at that concert. Mm-hmm. It was just very weird. And I guess at the end of that concert, Morris just walked off the stage, walked out the door, and he was done from the camp. Like, he just only showed up to do his scenes, and he was out. He never performed with them ever again. So.
It's intense.
Very interesting. And
it was intense and it's real, and this part of the energy that made this music so wonderful. They were living these things. This was not even, it's almost like this is not a movie really, but it's a representation of what their life was like.
Yeah.
And their interactions with each other. And it was heightened, it was intense. These are childhood friends. They go through their arguments and their fights and their love they have for each other. And that's like it's a common thread throughout Prince's almost entire career, at least around this time. And that, for the part of the next 10 years at least, where the people he plays with, that's his friends. Those are his peoples. And you kind of get an insight to what's going on in their actual lives.
Yeah. All right. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And so now we go back to the movie part here. We end things with Prince coming from backstage or whatever, and he comes around that corner, and whoop!
There it is.
He sees Apollonia, and then she sees him. And he has this hilarious look. You sort of have to jump the gun a little bit past this minute, but I understand that he, you know, as a man, he sees this bad, he sees a bad one, and he sees the bad one sees him, but then he also sees this other chick he's messing with standing right next to each other. Nigga, you better not be looking at this.
And obviously he is, and she sees it, and she's like, nigga, what? And she's looking at him, she's looking at her, and she already knew what was happening. She already knew, it's like, all right, it's a wrap. They're gonna fuck later.
Yeah,
she knows it already.
So smooth, where he's just like, stop. He's like, I could see, like, he wanted to get, like, oh, But then he kind of said, oh, wait a minute. Let me, you know, pull the game back in, Playboy. And he just, yeah, I'm going to look at you. I'm good.
Yeah. And he makes the mental notes. Prince is very good with, I'm not going to do shit now, but I'm making mental notes. You can almost tell when he's making them because he looks down at Jill's hand and he sees that she has Apollonia's contact information. Mm. So he's like, okay, I see it. All right. I'm going to get on this later.
Yeah, he's looking at her, and I think in his mind, you know how when she was looking at him, I said she's already seeing them fucking. He already sees the sex scene in the movie. At this exactly. point.
He's like, I know what I'm gonna do this bitch right now.
He's like, yeah, I'm patting the pee. I'm gonna pat that. I'm gonna
pat. We got ahead of the minute, but can't help it. You know,
I was just saying this is what's just going on in his mind. Like,
yes,
I'm gonna have you in a barn or something.
Titties, I will see them. I will see them.
Yeah, he's already plotting. Things going on in his head. He's
it's going down.
All right. Speaking of going down, it's time for quotes.
Oh shit.
Yeah, man.
Quotes always take me by surprise. All right. Okay, this is a quote. All right.
Yep.
And I'm just gonna say one word, and it kind of in reference to what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Let me see if you catch it. Action. Oh. That's. Did you get it?
Oh.
Oh.
It was when they're out in Lake Minnetonka.
Yes. And he's
I'm a singer or something.
Oh, you're in the business, and she's like, "Well, I'm a singer."
Oh.
Oh.
Hilarious.
He's not impressed. No. Okay, he's not at all impressed. Like, bitch, you just a single eye.
That, I don't know Prince, but just I could just see him in real life. Just not. That's oh really?
Oh.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. All right. There you go. Ida, where can they find you online?
You can check out my show at www.chickensexandsemantics. I am on Stitcher and iTunes, and obviously right here you can also find me.
Alright, and you can also find me on the Prince Podcast. You can also find me at podcastjuice.net. Hey, work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.